I got up this morning all anxious about the new year. My pen was anxious to write 2020. And I done the church work, the paperwork and stuff that needed to be done, finished up yesterday, and it had to be 19, of course, 2019. And so my pen was all anxious to write 2020. I anticipated doing my personal work because it's the first of the month and the money's come in and I pay my bills and write my tithe check and all that kind of stuff first thing on the first day of the month. And so I went in to my account online to see if the money was there, verify that the money was there. And it wasn't there. And I spent all day today checking out where's my money. I have no idea. It's always been there. It being a new year, it has made no difference. It usually comes in 1 to 2 days ahead of time. Social Security is not due to be paid until the third, but I usually get it by the first. And I didn't have that money. And I couldn't write that check. And boy, that bothered me. Couldn't make that money. Couldn't get that, use that number, 2020. And was thinking about situations in connection with a new year. They come around every 365 days, don't they? What's it all about? Have you considered how that we operate on the basis of a calendar? We have a calendar to work from. We have to do that. We read in the Bible about times and years, how many years involved and so forth and that thing. History is all built around a timetable when it happened and so forth in there. And I got thinking about the fact that what does this mean, 2020? In the year of our Lord. And I thought about Madeline Murray O'Hare. I've discussed that with you before. And back in the 60s, I guess, and the atheist and so forth. And I just have to laugh all the time. She couldn't help herself. She had to do business in the world. And when she wrote her checks, and when you write your checks, you're saying in the year of our Lord, whether you're saved or not, whether you're an atheist or not, it doesn't matter. That's what it is. The Lord has cleverly worked this out. I don't mean to be disrespectful in any way, but think about it a minute. All over the world, at midnight, of course I realize that 24 hours processing different time zones and so forth, but all over the world, they had their parties. I watched some of it on TV going on last night, and I was going to stay up to midnight, but I couldn't do it. I got tired, so I went to bed. And so I got up this morning and all set to be into the thing. And all over the world, the time changes, and the people are doing business, regardless of what they believe or have been taught, or what their country believes, and kings, and rulers, all people that do any kind of business at all, are doing it in the name of the Lord, in the year of our Lord, 2020 now, when they sign their checks. And that just thrilled me. I just thought that's pretty neat, how that works out. if we go back to when this all happened, what does this mean in the year of our Lord? What happened? Time was being set by some other standards, and there was a point there where the whole world has accepted the fact of starting at zero with who? With the coming of Jesus Christ. That's where it started. That's where it started. There in the manger, there was a little baby. Mary had a little baby. We have the quote Christmas story, and he did come into the world, and he grew up. We have the little incident there with the in the synagogue there when he was what, 10 or 12, whatever it was. Basically, it seemed that we just had a little boy growing up. I suppose probably he played kickball in the street, didn't he, with the neighbors or whatever they did. He was there. Mary, the Bible says that Mary carried this in her heart. She remembered this thing, and so she's pondering this thing, but she doesn't know what it's all about either, you see. But he's different. He's special. And then he comes to his time of his ministry. Luke tells us that it was when he was about 30 years old, and he was about 33 and a half when he died, and so he had about 3.5 years of ministry there. And here he comes. All this is involved by the time now. It's all set to the time. So 33 and a half after the birth of Christ, that would be in the year AD 30. We have BC, a time before Christ. You see how it's set? And the whole world accepts this for their history, whatever it might be. BC is before Christ. Well, they don't believe in Christ, and they're atheists, but they do their business on the basis of, and the history is all kept on the basis there of this time when the time was changed and it was worldwide. And here he is. And now he comes on the scene. And we say, well, who is he? Where did he come from? See? The multitudes came after him, and he came with the power and the magnitude, the magnetism, I guess, or whatever you want to call it there. And he said to this one, follow me. And he said to that one, follow me. And they left it. I can't picture that. I mean, you want me to leave my business? You want me to leave my money that's in the bank? You want me to leave my home? You want me to leave my wife? You want me to leave? You want me? Follow me. And this is this fellow who has changed the time in our world, and has been for all this time now, for 2020 years, he has made that change. And then he began to work his miracles, and he changed the water to wine, and then he began to heal the sick and to feed the multitudes of people that were involved. There 4,000. I think it says with the 4,000 or the 5,000. That was the women. That was the men plus the women and children. One place it says something like that. With a couple of little fishes, a little kid's lunch sandwich that he had there, maybe in a brown paper bag type thing that we have today, and he did these miracles. And this guy who has changed the timing, the calendar of the world. And some of them rejoiced and he was there. They were there to be healed and so forth. And some of them became critical, and with the whole situation that they were doing. And what a character he is. Well, as it went along, it came to a place where he went to Calvary. You see, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Not through any of the other so-called deities or gods that people have, but this one, and he's acknowledged through the calendar all over the world. And so, turn to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. We have some of this recorded for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians 15 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. Ah! Rose again. We want to think about this guy that his birthday changed the calendar 2,020 years ago. Let's see, where was I? He was died for our sins in the last part of verse 3 according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. We want to think about the fact of his death. There was something special about it, but that was special about it was not complete when he was in the grave. It was the resurrection. Because he, as he became sin, not that he had sin, but he became sin for me and for his people, and he died. But if that's the end of it, if that's all there is, then we don't have anything. You see, we have to have this business of the resurrection involved. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and he was seen of Cephas, and then the 12, verse 6 says, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. Now you see, we've got some witnesses. We have to go on the basis of what is written for us about history. History, well, you know how the story goes. If it's nothing wrote down to work from, then all you have is the word of somebody being passed down. And of course, that was what went on. But you know how it is. You get a group of people together, sitting around a table, maybe having a party, if you will, whatever. And the game is to whisper something to your neighbor, just a sentence or two, and they're to whisper it to their neighbor and so forth, and it goes around the building, and the time it comes back, it doesn't resemble anything like what you said. You see how it gets added to or subtracted from or changed in the process. But by having it written down, and we have it written down, the history of the world, where does it begin? In the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and we have this written down, and the Spirit of God working among the the people. There was the eyewitnesses, so to speak, and they wrote it down. From there, here's Adam and Eve, and there's anybody else, and so they are the product that God has made, and it comes forward from there. And we have a lot of things that we don't have 500 people that would testify about the history of the thing, but we do have that here that is written down. This is all from the beginning, from Genesis through the book, all the book is all about this guy whose life and death and resurrection set the time of the year, changed the calendar for the whole of the world. I've seen about 500 of them. Now, the importance to this whole thing is the resurrection. Go down to verse 12 now. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how says some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? You see the great hope that we have for a resurrection. Well, why should we? We know all kinds of people that die, we didn't see them rise. Cemetery's full. I go by there once in a while, so some of my family is there. And there's nothing happening there. They're just in the grave. Some of them would be saved, and their souls will be in, spirits will be in heaven, and some of them aren't. They would be the other place called hell there. But the resurrection is coming. And there's a day coming when the graves are going to open up. And he was talking about the 7 years and where we are in the coming of the Lord and so forth here. At the rapture time, while the graves are going to come open, and the new bodies that we will have at that time, we which are alive will be changed, but the others will come forth out of the grave, many of them there for hundreds of years, thousands of years now. We're about 6,000 years of people that have lived and died. And they're in a grave someplace. Whatever's left of them, there. See, dust to dust and ashes to ashes and all that type of thing. But there's going to be a resurrection. You see, that's where we are here. And this is what Paul is trying to get across to them here. He says, if there's no resurrection from the dead, then is Christ not raised? What does that tell us? It tells us this whole book is a lie. If Christ, if Christ be not raised, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also in vain. So what should we do? If Christ be not risen, we might as well be partying with all these other people. You see, it's all based on this business of a resurrection, the hope that we have. I see this more and more as I get older. Of course, as I get older, I get more learning and knowledge from the scriptures as I read it and so forth in here, as well as I getting closer to that point where I'll be there and all that is involved. How important this is, resurrection. And he says, yea, verse 15, and we are found false witnesses of God. False witnesses of God. Because we have testified of God, what? That he raised up Christ, the resurrection, see? Whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. If the dead rise not, then they're all, it's eat, drink, and be merry, tomorrow we're gone. But the resurrection. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Look at verse 16. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. We live by faith. We believe the word of God, and there's so much goes on in our lives that we just believe. It doesn't seem to fit or to make any sense, but we believe. It's called faith. And we live by faith, and my faith is vain, and I'm still in my sins if Christ didn't rise from the dead. And they tried to make out like that in the process with his death, they put him in a tomb and sealed it, and they charged the guards to make it, but he was gone because he raised from the dead, and they paid the guards to say, well, somebody must have took him, done away with him, but they haven't found him. They've searched and they've looked, and archaeology going on all the time, not necessarily particularly looking for the body, but if it were there, they would find it, you see. But he's gone. He rose from the dead. Then, verse 18, they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. But now, verse 20, is Christ risen from the dead. He is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And since man, verse 21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And so you see, because Christ rose from the dead, then you see, I will rise from the dead. There's a spiritual application where I have already risen from the dead in that sense, and then there will be the physical at the time of burial and all that's involved when we get into this end time situation. And then he says in verse 24, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign until he hath put all his enemies under his feet. And this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians talks a lot about this, and the resurrection is what is involved. Go over to verse 35 and says, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Oh man, it's heavy. He calls them a fool. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And it comes up, not the bare grain. He's talking about planting a crop and the grain comes forth on there. But by verse 38, by God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, to every seed his own body, and so forth as we go down through there. But and he talks about the resurrection again in verse 42. The terrestrial and celestial and all that's involved in that situation. And so also is the resurrection, verse 42, of the dead. The resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in corruption. Yeah. Tell me about it. we all have our problems, and the body goes downhill. With sicknesses and problems, and that's why we have doctors and hospitals and so forth, sown in corruption. But it's raised in incorruption. There will be no more sickness and no more death and no more sorrow. It's raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Look at 44. It is sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. Oh boy. Can you wait for that spiritual body? Oh, my. Yeah, Sister Lunsford is up there in that spiritual body, in that resurrected body. What is that? So it is written, verse 45. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit here. And verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. But I show you a mystery. We will not all sleep, all be changed. Look at verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption hath put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. We like victory. We like victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. What's the result of all this? And it's all over the world. It's there. They don't know about it. They don't hear about it. Maybe they don't believe it or whatever might be involved, but it's there. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable. Listen to the words. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Resurrection. He is not in the grave. He arose. My sins are all paid for because he arose. That was the paid in full mark. If he hadn't arose, you see, it'd be like a bounce check of some kind or whatever might be involved. We look at things, but he paid the price, and my sins are gone, and he arose. And it doesn't matter where I go in the world, what business I do, if I'm traveling, whatever it might be, the year will be in the year of our Lord, 2020. Got it? That's all I have. Thanks.